We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Friend to the room, Stephen A. Smith.
What's up? What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Blessed
good
black
to see
and
y'all again.
Favorite. How are you?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. It's been crazy. I've been busy as hell, and the NBA season's about to jump off, too, so it's been crazy. But I'm here. I wasn't missing this.
Your book is available for pre-order. It's Great Shooter.
Yeah, man. It's going well. And thank you, because you was one of the people that inspired me as well. A lot of people, both of y'all. I mean, I'm proud of y'all with y'all books
thank
and what
you.
Y'all
thank
have done, but I tell you, it was a long time coming. I really didn't want to do it. People had been asking me since ESPN let me go in 2009 to write a book, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to because I always said if I wrote a book, you know, I got to be straight up about, you know, just my life and kind of the things, the kind of things I had to go through on a personal level. And then my mother, God rest her soul, before she passed away in 2017, she had always made me promise, don't ever write a book until I pass away.
Wow.
Because she knew that I was going to talk about, you know, some of the relationships that I had growing up with pops and others in my family and stuff like that. And she knew I was going to do that. And she did not want me to do that while she was alive. She said, go ahead and do it. I'm just asking you for one favor.
Wow.
Don't do it until I pass away.
Mm.
So I had waited all of those years. And then even after, I wasn't going to do it. And then my sisters reminded me, hey, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. I got four sisters. Mm-hmm. They said, it's time.
Why now? Because you've always been like a private person personally.
Yeah, I still am. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I still am. But there's a lot to tell in terms of the path that I had to travel to get to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tell some of those stories and you try to be inspirational, as y'all have done with y'all book and what have you. You know, you tell people, you know, you don't tell them every single little nugget about your life, but you tell a lot. Mm-hmm. And you tell a lot with the goal in mind of being constructive and being inspirational and just trying to let people know, look, you ain't the only person that been through stuff. There's a whole bunch of us that been through stuff. And we walked through that terrain and we carried ourselves on through. And we, through the grace of God and a lot of help from a lot of people, we were able to pull it off. So you can too. And that's basically what you're doing. You're trying to be as motivational and inspirational as you possibly can. But in the same breath, in order to do that, you got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, hey, I'm just going to do it.
Did you know what you wanted to do as a kid?
You know what? I grew up idolizing Howard Cosell, mm-hmm. and primarily because of Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. and his relationship with Muhammad Ali, and then Brian Gumbel because I saw him doing everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like it was the Today Show. He used to do NFL Olympics. On NBC. Yeah, I mean, everything. The Olympics, he did everything. And so I grew up idolizing them, and I had fantasized about that. But I always fantasized about being a criminal lawyer. And this is before Johnny Cochran and all that.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely
it was like I literally did. But you know, I'm in the fourth grade, and I'm getting left back because I got undiagnosed dyslexia, and I'm saying, hey, you know what? Ain't no way I'm going to law school. I'm thinking like, hell no, I ain't doing that. But I mean, I grew up watching Perry Mason and Madlock, and this is before Law and Order. Mm-hmm. All of those crime shows, anything that had a courtroom in it, I fantasized about. Mm. So I always said, you put me in a courtroom, ain't no way in hell you gonna convince me I'm gonna lose out on convincing 12 jurors to see my way.
All right.
I always believed that. But then the journalism came, and all of a sudden, it just blew up unexpectedly because even though earlier on in my life, I didn't have that confidence, later on, I did. And when I had that confidence, I was ready to do it. But then this journalism took off, and I was like, well, you know, I'm doing quite well. Let me stick with this.
How'd you overcome the dyslexia, though? Because you're one of the most articulate people speaking on television today.
My older sister, Linda. She was a teacher back in the day. My sister Carmen is a teacher now. My sister Abigail's in the education system as a superintendent. But Linda was a teacher, and Linda literally taught me how to read and write.
Wow.
And one of my best friends growing up, his name was Ronnie. His big brother Tiver was also brilliant. So whenever I was over his house, Tiver was a brilliant dude. And he would teach me how to read. And then I'd come home to Linda, and Linda would sit me down 4 or 5 days a week. She said, we're going to overcome this. And, you know, she would teach me how to read and write. And then in the seventh grade, I had a teacher that told my mother during the parent teacher's night, he said, he ain't stupid. Not at all. She said, he's not focused. He drifts. Mm-hmm. He doesn't focus and concentrate on things that bore him.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's interested in something, he's locked in. And he don't miss anything when he's like that. Find what he's interested in and watch what you have.
How many times did you argue with your sisters? Like, how was your house growing up? Because you like to argue.
Here's the deal. Here's the reason why. Because I wasn't allowed to growing up. I got 4 older sisters, bro.
Yeah. You know
that?
And
I mean, shut the hell up. And that's on the regular.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, you got 4 women. And it's like, I remember the scariest moment in my adult life, because this is related to your question.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go on The View right after the Tiger stuff came out.
Mm. Oh, man.
And I was like, cool, it's no problem. ESPN had let me go. I had gotten to Fox Sports Radio. They asked me to come on The View. I said, fine. And I walked in the studio, and it's Barbara Walters there. It's Barbara Walters, it's Joy Behar, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, all this back in those days, okay? And I walked in. You got these 4 women on the set. That's cool. But the audience was like stadium seating.
Right. Yeah.
And it looked like they right on top of you, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was the only man in the entire studio.
Right.
There wasn't a male in sight. I was the only speck of testosterone. It was like, I said,
how'd you handle
that? What the hell about that? And then they was asking me about Tiger. And I was like, well, I'm trying to explain. And like, what are you saying? I was like, what the hell I got myself into, you know, that to me. And it was like, but then I remembered, I grew up around this.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around this. I knew how to handle it. And if it wasn't for my upbringing with my 4 older sisters and my mother, there's 5 women telling me what to do. Shut the hell up when we tell you to shut the hell up.
Speak about a very sensitive subject.
I love when women are in that position, too, because I feel like a lot of times as women, especially in sports, you see a lot of women who might be the only woman.
Yeah.
In the room. And so I love the reverse when that happens.
It's some scary. It's scary as hell. To this day, that is the scariest moment in my career. Because you got to remember, Tiger got in some stuff now.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I'm walking in the studio. I'm like, there's nothing I can say. I got to figure out a way. And they were just looking at me like, you even uttered the wrong syllable, we going to be on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
That's interesting, especially with like the Ime Udoka stuff happening now and seeing Shaq say, I don't want to weigh in and criticize this because I've been through the things that I've been through. So you don't want to be a hypocrite.
Well, you don't want to be a hypocrite, but in the same breath, if you're sitting in that chair and all of y'all can relate to this with the Gray Show y'all been doing for years, you got to call it like you see it. And what we got to do is we got to be careful. You can talk about an incident mm-hmm. without talking about the person.
That's right.
Right.
That's
this
right.
is what. That's right. Listen, you know how many people disagree with me every day?
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with you attacking what I say mm-hmm. or what situation I've addressed. That's entirely different than attacking me. I can compartmentalize. And if you're sitting in that chair, you know, I told Shaq about that. Yo, bro, you can avoid it all you want to. TNT coming up, bro. Season, get ready to start. You're going to have to avoid it. You're going to have to talk about it mm-hmm. at some point. Mm-hmm. And I definitely told him that. And so for me, you're damn right I touched on it. But I touched on it from a different angle. There's no excuse for him to find himself in that position that he was in. But my position religiously was, it's none of our business. There's no reason on earth that you can justify to me why the Boston Celtics had that press conference, why we're having this discussion. Mm-hmm. That was an HR matter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been covering sports for almost 30 years. I'm telling you, every year, there's stories like this. Every year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it being discussed. You hear about the cat getting fired, and you hear rumors as to why, mm-hmm. but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not validated by the organization. And then, you know, I took it a step further, and I mentioned this blackness only from this perspective. You kept him. You retained him. You didn't fire him. That means no one has the right to come and get him. You suspended him, but it was indefinite. You said, I'm going to suspend you for a year, but then after the year, we're gonna look into it.
I
mean, that's BS, mm-hmm. all right? You probably docked half his pay, because that's what my sources told me. You docked half his pay. And I'm like, so he can't work.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go elsewhere. You docked half his pay. His future's up in arms.
That's right.
And you publicized his personal business
that's
because
right.
the press release, the report said consensual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might have violated the organizational policy and all that, but it said...
Consensual relationship. That's right.
So essentially, all of this has happened because of a consensual relationship. Now, we don't know her status, and even if we did, we can't say because, you know, they haven't revealed that information. You know, you can get sued for stuff like that. But here's what I know about him. He ain't married. And it was a consensual relationship, according to y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think we'll ever get the full story?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Not just that. You can't do what you did mm-hmm. with this man. And there's not going to be an uproar at some mm-hmm. point. And I said it, and then people was getting on me about that. I said, I know plenty of white dudes that's screwing around in the office,
mm-hmm.
in sports.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff wasn't publicized. I know at least three dudes personally that got fired because of mm-hmm. it. It was never publicized. We heard about it, but it was never publicized. And guess why? Because they're working for another team now. Mm-hmm. Not in the capacity that they were. It might have been on a lower level, but they still are employed. With the same brand, because why? It wasn't publicized and put out on Front Street like that.
You did say something that
sure.
He's not married.
That's right. That's right.
Allegedly, one of the women are.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they attacking him so much for the relationship?
Yeah, if it's an organizational policy,
the woman that's allegedly
why the woman's listen, name is not there. Why has she been suspended?
Listen, we totally agree. I'm not gonna sit up here in front and act like we disagree. What I'm saying is, in the interest of making sure that all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and we don't have folks coming at us talking about why are we trying to make somebody else the victim? All I'm saying is, it's always private. We've never heard the details. You heard they got fired.
Right.
You could speculate as to why, but because it's not known, another team has no problem bringing you on board and employing you because that's never been confirmed.
Right.
By having the press conference, you confirmed the stuff mm-hmm. that was put out there about him.
Mm-hmm.
You said nothing about her. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying to put her on Front Street. I'm saying he shouldn't have been talked about. Let him go or keep him,
mm-hmm.
but keep the matter in-house. They didn't do that because they wanted to suspend him and make an example of him.
That's right.
And it could have been, enforced by somebody else, but the bottom line is it was wrong.
Do you think because he was black?
Well, I think that part, to me, I'm not going to go that far, but I will say this. I haven't seen it happen to any white boys. I'm going to tell it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. And I said it. I said it on National Toughen. I ain't seen anybody. And everybody backed up because they know I've covered this league and I've covered professional sports for a quarter century. And I went on national television and I said, I know plenty of white boys that's been doing their thing in the office. Nobody said anything. We didn't know. And everybody backed up because they know I'm telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth, and it's jacked up that, listen, he ain't perfect, and whatever he had coming to him, if the organization, they had cause to fire him now, because I heard that he obviously violated organizational policy, and then plus he lied initially when approached. So now you got cause. You got him dead to rights. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't defend him. If they wanted to let him go, they could let him go. But then let him go.
Right.
Don't hold him and keep him from working and keep him from going someplace else to work. You have ruined this man's career because of a consensual relationship. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing right about that, man. And then, to me, that's the point that everybody's missing.
And to your point, that's a great point. It clearly, they're protecting one person in this situation, which is the woman.
With absolutely.
With him, it's just like, go vilify him. Put
that's
him out
right. There. That's right. Throw him out to pasture. And black men, we know about that all too well. So people are going to sit up there and say, Stephen A's trying to make it a race issue. Actually, no, you made it a race issue by how you elected to handle this. All I said was, I said fire him or keep him, but you don't do this because you've never done it to anybody else. So why is the first example a black man? I got a problem with that.
What do you think about Matt Barnes' comments? Because I wonder from an OG journalism perspective, looking at the new media, as they call it. Right. What did you think of his comments? That he said he'll never work again, he thinks, if the full story comes up.
Listen, if the full, he might be right. He might be right about that. He's not wrong. And I think that in Matt Barnes' case, who's a good brother, by the way, he's a real good brother. I think with him, here's the issue. I think he felt uncomfortable with the ledge he went out on. Mm. It wasn't so much the story itself, but the things he said initially. And sometimes you find yourself in that situation where you might know all the facts, but you went too far out in saying what you said, and you got to backtrack. And people are thinking that you're backtracking totally because you went out too far. I didn't go out too far. I said exactly what I meant. I said it a week and a half ago. Damn it, I'm saying the same thing now. Mm-hmm. Because I know that the story is going to percolate. It's going to develop even more. We're going to hear more details coming out of it. And I'll be fronting. I mean, listen, I'm not going to front with you and act like we ain't hear what's going on and we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of details that I know that I cannot say because for legal issues and what have you, you just can't do that. But trust me when I tell you, it comes from a place of knowledge. I know what the hell I'm talking about, and I know how screwed over he's gotten in all this. He ain't innocent, and if he got fired, he would have deserved it, period. But you didn't have to do that. Him getting fired is one thing. You publicizing his business like that is an entirely different matter altogether. He'd have lost his job with the Boston Celtics if you handled it correctly. In this instance, you might have ended his career as a head coach, and as a rookie head coach, he did what the president of basketball operations couldn't do in 7 years. He took these brothers to the NBA Finals in year one. Year one. Mm-hmm. And this is the other part that y'all got to know about it. He's making about $3 million, $3.5 million. Had he had another successful season, and I'm not talking finals, he could have got them to the conference finals, whatever. He's in a position next summer to negotiate a contract that's paying him at least triple.
That's right.
At least $9 million. In today's NBA economy, at least $9 to $10 million. That's the going rate for a lot of these brothers, all right? So now you've squashed that because what leveraging position does he have? He can't come to you and negotiate a deal that's going to get him a raise next year. You stripped him of everything because of a consensual relationship.
So you think this was personal?
I don't know if it was personal. I know that it was handled in a way that I don't think enough people are bringing attention to.
Okay.
It's an HR matter, y'all. It's an HR matter. If it happened with one of y'all, if it happened with me, if it happened to anybody, it's none of our business, man. Mm-hmm. It's an internal matter. Now, if it's not consensual and you're talking about something else, sexual assault, rape, something like that, that's a different matter.
That's right.
You're breaking the laws. But if it's legal and consensual, it's none of our business.
That's why we got to have another conversation about the power of self-control. Right. Brothers got to learn discipline. Like, there's certain situations you just shouldn't put yourself into. And that's one of them.
That's right. Which is why I say, if they fired him, I wouldn't have said a word.
Yeah.
You put yourself in that position. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You're a rookie head coach. You just got there, okay? And you find yourself in this position, there's no excuse. Now, listen, from the beginning of time, men have had problem resisting. women. I mean, from Adam and Eve, for crying out loud. It's very, very predictable.
Is this what you said on The View? This is why they got mad at you.
I said that too. You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. And Elizabeth Hackman was like, what? What? She's like, I would hope that Stephen people can exercise something. Like, they can. You know, I had to back that up and be straight. But I mean, listen, there's no question about it. And especially, and as black men, we got to understand this. Yeah, times are what they are, and we believe progress has been made, but we also recognize that there's a long way to go.
That's right.
And so the rules are still different for us than it is for white men. Mm-hmm. Just call it what it is. You got to know that, and your responsibility to yourself and your community mm-hmm. and folks on the come up that idolize you because of the position that you're in, mm-hmm. you know, you got to be careful with all that. You got to be careful. Look at the position I'm in. Come on, man. You think that I haven't had opportunities to get with folks in the industry and whatever. Yo, I ain't playing that game. You know, they ain't worth my check. Mm-hmm. They're not worth what I built to try and accomplish for myself. I'm not going that route. That's just me.
They'll send people at somebody like you.
Hell yes. And they have to listen. You can't put it past anybody because you got people and they listen. They're going to come at you in a variety of ways. I've been in situations where I've been propositioned covering the NBA playoffs, NBA finals, and I'm not saying this is exactly what happened, but I wondered who sent them because the women were a little bit too aggressive. I'm like, I don't think I look like Godzilla, but I ain't that damn attractive. Mm-hmm. Now, they're a little bit too aggressive here. I mean, why are they acting like they got to get with me? Something's fishy about this, you know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't know, but you have that suspicion and that...
Intuition,
you gotta get in self protective mode. You gotta be like, you know, this is a little too good to be true. You know what I'm saying? And something ain't right about this. You know, me meeting a honey or whatever. All right, fine. All right, that happens with all of us. But you know, three women coming up to me at the same time, I say, you know, thank you, but no thank you, and they still coming. They don't want to take no for an answer. They trying to find out what hotel I'm in, what hotel room I'm in, rather, because we were in the lobby of the hotel. This happened in Dallas years ago during the finals between Dallas and the Miami Heat. And I'm sitting there like, this is too good to be true. Ain't no way in hell these women want me like this. Something real fishy. You know, hell no.
I'm not going for that.
I mean, I'm a confident brother, but damn, nah. I'm not falling for that.
Now, no. Stephen A. Smith, you also have your podcast now.
Yeah.
No Mercy.
Yes.
So this is more in the field of politics.
Yes. Well, it's not limited to just politics. It's politics, it's news, it's pop culture and entertainment. Listen, each and every single one of you, I hope and expect to have y'all on as a guest. I mean, listen, there's a lot of issues that I like to talk about. And what's beautiful about a show like this is the freedom that y'all have to tackle a multitude of issues. Mm-hmm. Understand that I've been in sports my entire career. I never had that latitude. Now, it seems that way at times because we tackle issues on First Take that you wouldn't anticipate on sports television. But the reason for that is that some way, somehow, it found its way into the sports landscape. So it gave us a license to talk about issues. You could talk about Colin Kaepernick, and all of a sudden you found yourself getting into politics because of then President Trump and how he politicized and hijacked the narrative and all of this other stuff. So you find yourself sifting into that area. But for the most part, it's been sports, and I've been confined to that. This is different. It's my podcast. I own it. I'm in 100% control of the content for it. It's not associated with Disney and ESPN in any way. And so for me, it's just about talking about the issues that are percolating, the people who matter, the difference makers, the kind of impact they intend to have, and personalizing those conversations. I'm still going to give my monologues. I'm still going to give my closing remarks. You're going to always hear from me in terms of how I feel on an issue on a case-by-case basis. But in the same breath, it's really about talking to the people that are influencers and difference makers, and more importantly, letting the audience know who to listen to. Like, I'm not one of those people when it comes to politics. I got my own thoughts and opinions, but I will be the first to say, I don't know. This is what I see, and based on the evidence, this is what I deduce from it. Mm-hmm. But you should talk to this person and this person, right. And you should listen to this show and that show. I'm not somebody that's going to look at it and say, listen to me and don't listen to anybody else. No, I want you to listen to those other people because I listen to them. I want to hear what y'all have to say, what your thoughts are, what your opinions are, et cetera, et cetera. And if we disagree, we disagree. And if we agree, that's even better. But it's all good.
Steve got to leave too in about 5-6 minutes.
Okay, I saw you the other day and you said you weren't going to be so hard on Kyrie this season.
Yes.
But I did.
I'm trying to move forward. I'm not trying to go to the past.
But when I saw Kareem's comments, right. where he called him a comical buffoon, yes. I did wonder what you thought about that.
I wouldn't call Kyrie a buffoon at all. I'm not going to question the intelligence of the brother, although he has said some bizarre things in the past. The world is flat and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
His uncle have a conversation with you.
Say what?
He said his uncle was going to have a conversation with you.
Not his uncle. He did, actually. Well, here's the deal. Kyrie's father is from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of cats in the Bronx that know me well. Mm-hmm. He grew up with them. I've known them throughout my adult life. They've been mentors and friends and all of that other stuff. And so I laughed about it because they're my boys. Mm-hmm. I give you some of their names. Rod Strickland. Gary Howard. Gary Howard is the former executive sports editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. At a time when 1,600 papers throughout the daily newspapers throughout this country, where you only had about two black sports editors, he was one of them. Mm. He's the former deputy sports editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he was the one that got me hired at the Philadelphia Inquirer before I got into television and all of that. So that's one of his boys, his dad's boys. You got Rod Strickland, who's his godfather. You got Gary Howard. You got Gary Howard's brother, Reggie Howard. I know these brothers. Mm-hmm. And of course, Kenny Smith from TNT, because he knows them. Mm-hmm. They like family. And so, you know, they all reached out to me at one point in time or another, Stephen A., man, you know, lay off, whatever. And I said, yo, fellas, y'all caught up in how I deliver and how I talk. You're not listening to my content. The only thing I said about the brothers, you got to show up to work. You don't show up to work, you don't get paid. You can talk all that stuff you want all the time. I had a problem taking the vaccine. I don't have any problem with anybody who was, apprehensive about taking the vaccine. I was talking about a different discussion. The different discussion is they all there in Brooklyn because of you. You wanted them there. And they all signed on. They said, yo, we got to go for the chip. And shit, we can't do it unless we vaccinated because they're going to get in our way. Mm-hmm. Everybody said we down but you. Oh, you know what? Jaylen Brown didn't take the vaccine. Well, Massachusetts didn't have, Boston didn't have that policy in place. New York does. It ain't fair. Andrew Wiggins, Golden State, hell. City of San Francisco had that policy. Andrew Wiggins didn't want to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. They were like, yo, man, we trying to win the chip. And that's what he did. I said, that's what I was addressing. So you could talk about putting something in your body and all that stuff. And I get it. And that's real. No question about it. But at the end of the day, you trying to win the chip or not. And then it didn't happen. I said, look, that ain't the only time you missed work. You've been missing games for years. That's right. In 11 years, you've never played more than 60 games in a season but four times. In 11 years. So I pointed out that stuff. And I said, you ain't going to get paid. You can book it. And so when people saw me on the air, they were like, oh, you trying not to get the brother paid. Once again, you don't pay attention to my career. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. I didn't tell them not to pay him. I'm saying, this is what they're telling me. You ain't going to get this money now. And I had owners like, he ain't getting that money. And what happened this summer?
That's
he
right.
didn't get that money.
Right.
He had to opt in and play the final year of his deal because, as he admitted, there were not but so many options. What have I been telling y'all all
That's
year?
Right.
And so now we fast forward to this season. Bradley Beal got $200+ million. Zach LaVine in Chicago got $200+ million. I want Kyrie to get his money, but you are a spectacular box office caliber talent that we deserve to see. His problem, in my opinion, is that we're beneath him. It's like he's so brilliant and he's such a savant that he sees things that none of us see. Mm-hmm. Well, damn it, what we really want to see is you ball. What we really want to see is you playing 41 nights a year at Barclays Center, at least. How about 30, okay? Get on a roll. Put in more than 60 mm-hmm. games in a season. And be the showstopper that you are. So, you know, I'm not going to disrespect him like Kareem did. I think that's unnecessary. But you got to remember, Kareem's a civil rights activist. His brother's deep as hell. He's mm-hmm. been around a long time. He's one of the greatest who's ever lived. He's qualified to say what he said. I wouldn't go that far. But I do think the frustration seeps in because you're looking at him and you're saying, come on, bro, some of the things that you say and some of the positions that you take in, you retweet and stuff about conspiracy theories and all of this. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that damages you. It damages the brand, and it makes you look bad, and somebody need to tell you. That's all I would have said if I was Kareem, as opposed to calling them names. But that's just me.
Should Tua retire?
I think so. I'm not sure because we don't know all the details. I will tell you, if I were him, I'm suing somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not usually that dude, but I'm suing somebody. For him to take the hit Sunday in Buffalo, you get up, you stumble, you fall back down. And for them to say it was a back issue, it was not a head issue. Understand what concussion protocols. You usually take 6 to 7 days. He had another game in four days. Okay? You put his life in danger because he's back out there. Now, to the, in fairness to the Miami Dolphins, they swear we followed all the necessary protocols. We did everything right. We stand by that. Well, why the hell the independent doctor that you had, why did you release him? Why did he get dismissed? Because you didn't do everything right. And anybody with two eyes can see that brother was in a world of trouble. You put him back in the same game Sunday. Then you turned around, you played them Thursday. And everybody tells you the second concussion is what's the most dangerous. Mm. The first concussion does damage, but the second one is where your life can really, really be in danger. And in my opinion, he shouldn't be allowed to play for the rest of the season, at the very least. At the very least. And considering concussions and how big these brothers are compared to him, the next hit, you'll know what kind of damage that could do.
I want to ask you this question. Sure. I know you got to go. I asked you this question a couple of years ago, and I wonder if your thoughts have changed. Because I asked you, when it's all said and done, when we're talking about just basketball, who will be, who will this era be remembered by, Curry or LeBron James? Who will go down as the guy for this era? Just basketball, nothing else, nothing outside the court, nothing, just on the court.
For me, I can't separate that. I have to say LeBron. But it's exactly because of what you don't want me to touch on. See, when they talk about LeBron, you can't avoid talking about everything. When you talk about Curry, you can't help but talk about only basketball. There's nothing else that he gives you. LeBron gives you more because of the issues he's willing to tackle, his willingness to speak out, how he's been a target by some people and what have you.
Well, just basketball, Stephen A. Just on the court.
I think, listen. Curry's a bad, bad brother. He's the greatest shooter who ever lived. No doubt about it. But the onslaught has come lately. LeBron has been, I'm going with LeBron because LeBron came into the league with that kind of fanfare. Delivered ultimately with 4 championships and 10 NBA finals appearances.
Curry got 8 straight.
Yeah, but 8 straight appearances.
Beat Bron?
I know that. He's been beat Bron. No question.
And I heard you say something on the show. You said that. You were talking about Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. You said that you can't give it to Wilt over Bill because Bill beat
11
him.
Titles. It's a good point. I can't even front. It's a good point, Charlamagne. I can't deny it. Because to me, Curry's my favorite player. But I can just tell you, as a guy that goes to the arenas, man, when LeBron walks in, it's just a different feel. It's a different, as much as you love Curry and as much as you love watching Golden State and as entertaining as they are, and I think he's the greatest shooter who ever lived, greatest shooter God ever created. It's just that dude, right? When LeBron walks into a building, bro, it's a different animal.
So when Curry repeats this year and gets his 5th ring.
I believe he will, by the way. You know, I picked him. I picked him to repeat.
What do you think then? He repeats 5th ring?
Yeah. Got him.
Okay.
Got him, probably. Okay. You're probably right. Well, especially if he does it beating him. Like, especially if he smokes.
I don't think the Lakers going
to
be there.
I think they're going to playoffs, though.
I think they'll go to the playoffs.
All right, well, Stephen A. Smith, straight shooter, pre-order it now. We appreciate you for joining us.
Appreciate you,
man. You got to come up a little earlier next time so we got more conversation.
Man, I'm happy to. Can I mention something before
Absolutely.
I go, man? HBCU week at Disney at Disney World. I'll be there this Thursday and Friday. We just celebrating that Disney's involved with HBCU week. In the last 2.5 years, we generate over $12 million in scholarships for over 2,000 students. So they're going to be down at Disney World on Friday, and First Take is airing. We're televising the show live from Disney World on Friday for HBCU week. So check it out.
Well, there you have it. Stephen A. Smith.
Go pre-order that book, Straight Shooter.
I appreciate you, bro.
It's
Thank
the Breakfast
you.
Club. Good morning.
We'll be right back.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.